Hello, and welcome to the DC Insider Employer Update Podcast. This podcast provides updates based on the expertise and insights from the attorneys at the Washington, D.C.-based law firm, Fortney Scott, and their guests. This podcast will provide an analysis of significant federal developments affecting the workplace that employers need to understand and is for informational purposes only and does not provide legal advice. Now let's turn it over to our hosts, David Fortney.
Thanks, Valerie, and welcome everyone to another edition of the DC Insider Employer Update Podcast. Joining today in a great discussion coming up on artificial intelligence is our own Savannah Shuntage. Savannah is one of our rock star attorneys here at Fortney Scott. Hey, Savannah.
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And I appreciate you coming in to join us and so we can chat a little bit about the latest on artificial intelligence and various AI developments. For those that don't know Savannah, let me just say a word about her. She's been very immersed in the AI topics recently. She was part of the Institute for Workplace Equality's Technical Advisory Committee, or TAC, which did a terrific report a couple months ago. She also has been very involved in counseling employers on the New York City law and compliance on those matters, employer best practices on addressing AI, including some of these new OFCCP demands. And I know you've got a panel coming up with EEOC Commissioner Keith Sonderling. And I'm excited to also hear your other panelist, European Union Member of Parliament Tudor Rocky, who hails from Romania. So that's very exciting, and that will provide kind of a nice global view.
Very excited about it because I think having both of them will draw a nice contrast between the approaches that the EU and the US are taking to addressing AI.
Exactly. Well, let's start with the US. That's what most of our listeners are very focused on. And of course, on October 30th, President Biden and the White House issued yet another executive order addressing this. This one's called, I believe, the EO on Safe, Secure, and Trustworthy Development and the Use of Artificial Intelligence. That sounds impressive. What's it about, Savannah? I know you've read it.
You know, David, it's about a lot. I'll just start there. Essentially, it's the Biden administration issuing directives to something like 15 different federal agencies, requiring them to take various steps on AI. So it's pretty broad in its scope. And the deadlines in the executive order are something like all the tasks are to be completed for the most part in the next 270 days. So things are moving quickly.
So according to my calculation, that would mean they'd have everything wrapped up before the election. Is that right?
You know, that's correct, David. And I don't think that that's a coincidence.
I see. Now, I want to learn more about what's in this new executive order, but I also just want to kind of refresh because the October 30th is but the most recent executive order or effort by the Biden administration to address AI. Can you just remind us of what some of the prior efforts have been?
David, I think the most significant was the White House blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights. This came out, if everyone remembers, in fall of last year, and it just lays out some core principles for the use of AI. One of the use cases that it talks about is employment, as you might expect. So that to me is the most significant.
And is it referenced in the newest EO? Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this most recent EO and looking principally, you know, from you've given that there are these various reports. Let's hone in on with respect to employers' interests. What's in this newest EO? What should we be looking at?
Yeah, so I think some other federal agencies were given more significant tasks, but that's not to say the Department of Labor was left out. For example, they've been asked to develop principles and best practices to mitigate the harms and maximize the benefits of AI for workers by addressing job displacement, labor standards, workplace equity, health and safety, and data collection. So that's quite a tall order.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, does that mean to issue a report on that? Or when it says address, what does that encompass?
They talk in the sense of guidelines or guidance. So to give you an example, they say that the Department of Labor needs to issue guidance on the Fair Labor Standards Act to ensure that workers are compensated for all hours worked when their work is either being augmented or monitored by AI.
Okay. So employers then in terms of compliance can look forward to, sounds like some sub-regulatory guidance and clarifications that presumably the department would be thereafter putting to the test in terms of enforcement.
Yes, exactly. And one thing to note, the principles and best practices are supposed to be developed in collaboration with various stakeholders, so unions, workers, and also employers.
Right. Now, I know the Department of Commerce has a pretty robust role under this new executive order. They seem to be really kind of leading the charge. What does Commerce have to do and why is that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So first and foremost, they're required to create AI safety testing standards and then to sort of implement those standards. So the EO requires that companies that are developing AI products that potentially have the effect of potentially national security issues or creating health and safety issues, they're actually going to have to turn over the testing data for their models to the Department of Commerce. There's a reporting piece to this, which is very interesting.
That's interesting. So the developers of AI and the users of AI are going to have to share their presumably highly proprietary data with the Department of Commerce.
Yes, and I imagine that a number of tech companies are quite squeamish about that particular requirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. At this point, it's simply an executive order, and it remains to be seen, I guess, whether that can actually be required if people aren't...
Correct, yeah, and what the exact standards will be. Mm-hmm. All of this is yet to be developed.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about this executive order and more broadly. You mentioned that this is the most recent one, October 30th. There's been the blueprint, prior executive order. What's your take as someone who's really studying what the Biden administration's been doing on AI? What's your take on where they are and where we're going?
David, I think that they're eager to show that they're taking action on AI, specifically to address some of the public concerns that have come up after the release of generative AI models early this year.
And I mean, certainly it's received a lot of attention. I mean, the developers of AI have issued a letter for a 6-month stand down. There have been various meetings I know that the White House has had with various stakeholders. What about Congress? Everyone says Congress can't get anything done, it seems. That's the popular view. Is Congress a player in all of this, or is this all within the executive branch?
They are, David. They are. I mean, it remains to be seen whether anything actually gets passed. But Chuck Schumer actually this year has taken the lead on working towards creating some type of AI legislation. Over the summer, he released what he called the SAFE framework. So SAFE, and that actually, like everything else in Congress, actually is an acronym. So it stands for the Security Accountability Foundations and Explainability Framework. And that's just a one-page document talking about some major goals in terms of future AI legislation. But he's leading a group of senators from both parties, actually, to start drafting legislation. I don't think we'll have anything until next year. But in the meantime, they've been holding listening sessions in the Senate. Unfortunately, they're closed door, so we don't exactly know what's happening there. But for example, on November 1, there was a listening session with folks from unions and companies on AI in the workplace. So they haven't forgotten about us, those who work in this area.
Right. So we're part of that discussion, but we don't know where that's going yet.
Exactly.
All right. So we've talked briefly. We've talked about the president, his executive orders and the blueprint. We've talked about what Congress is up to. Sounds like all the actions in the Senate led by Majority Leader Schumer. What about where is the U.S. vis-a-vis the rest of the world on dealing with AI? I know there was this summit a week or so ago in England. Vice President Harris attended that. What is that about? How do our efforts fit into these larger global framework? Because I'm concerned about that because many of our clients, of course, they are global, or they're certainly their reach and footprint extends well outside the U.S., and their data systems operate in multiple jurisdictions. How is AI developing outside the U.S., and how do we fit in to that larger global picture? It's a big question.
It is, but I think I can do it. I think we're sort of in the middle of the continuum in terms of regulation. So if I were putting the countries working on AI issues on a spectrum, I would put kind of the UK as sort of the lowest level. They're talking a lot about safety and security, but less about actually hard regulation. So that summit last week was to talk about safety issues presented by AI and to get some types of kind of voluntary agreements from tech companies and other countries in that regard. And then, you know, in the US, we're now talking about regulation through various agencies, legislation, this new executive order. So that puts us a little bit ahead of the UK, I think. And then finally, the EU AI Act is really the big player in the room. So that's legislation that's coming out of the EU, possibly as soon as December, we may have a final version. And that law will sort of tier different AI systems into degrees of risk with actual employment data or use in hiring. rated as a higher risk system.
Yes, that's what I understand. The European Union, which not surprisingly is going to have a more heavy regulatory approach, and they have that pyramid of risk, and the HRIS data is right up towards the almost at the apex, I think the level below the apex, is my understanding. So that is something that we're looking for in the next couple of months. We'll have you back when that drops so you can explain what that means, because that will impact lots of U.S. employers. Well, our friends at the U.S. Department of Labor, because although you said they didn't have many assignments in this newest executive order with respect to federal agencies that regulate the U.S. workplaces, what are the things you have on your radar screen that you're looking at there?
I think what comes to mind is the Department of Labor, specifically OFCCP, in its newest scheduling letter. They're now requiring companies that are being audited or federal contractors that are being audited to turn over information about AI technology that they're using and making selections. So I think that has the potential to result in a greater degree of involvement in AI by the Department of Labor as a whole.
Agreed. One of the other initiatives that the Labor Department has is in conjunction with the EEOC, the Hire Initiative. Where does that stand?
Well, they conducted a hearing in January to gather information about AI, and I believe they've had some other events of that kind. I haven't seen a great deal about what this initiative is actually resulting in personally. David, I don't know what you've seen in the news, but it seems like it's a fairly behind-the-scenes effort.
I would agree with that. The Hire Initiative, which is Hiring Initiative to Reimagine Equity, again, to your earlier point on acronym, is something that I think has been fairly dormant after a bit of fanfare earlier this calendar year and at the beginning of 2023. However, I think with this current push, as you highlighted to at the outset, to broaden awareness and demonstrate commitment to enforcing existing standards involving that implicate AI, I think the Hire Initiative is going to become a vehicle for OFC and EEOC to more actively coordinate and move forward. And I think actually in the next 90 days or so, we'll be seeing a little more activity in that direction too. But I agree with you. It's a sleeper, but I think it's about to awaken, my best information.
Makes sense. Yeah. And of course, we shouldn't forget about the EEOC's two different guidance documents addressing AI, one in the case of employers using AI and ADA considerations, and the other using AI to make selections.
Correct. And of course, EEOC has had some fairly modest, but they have had some litigations that have been filed against employers relating to their usage of AI, how it's been used. I expect we will see more of that, a more amped up response also as things progress. All right. So Savannah, final thoughts on what employers should be doing, say the next 90 days as they are dealing and addressing these AI issues.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't done this already, I think the best thing for employers to do is to make sure that they have a grasp of where they're using AI, just a full understanding of all the systems that they're currently using, so that as regulations and obligations roll out, that they're prepared to meet any of the requirements placed upon them.
I think that's a great suggestion. And I just would remind our listeners, many employers, as they have hollowed out some of the staffing in HR, have really leaned into effectively AI to manage their applicants and their HRIS system. They may not think about that, but you should pause and think about whether how much AI is sorting applicants, getting slates ready to be interviewed, some cases actually conducting interviews or sorting and assessments. So I think the human resource field is pretty rich with the use of AI, and people may not realize that. They may think, oh, this is a great efficiency labor-saving tool. But under this new regime will be AI, and whatever these new requirements are will be likely subject to those.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Super. Well, Savannah, I so appreciate you taking time to jump in and give us the latest on this executive order. It's literally hot off the presses. Sounds like a lot more is coming on. Look for interest of your panel coming up, which I think will be fascinating. And thanks so much.
Absolutely. And David, can I end with a fun fact?
Of course, please.
Okay. So according to the White House's deputy chief of staff, President Biden, among other reasons, became particularly concerned about addressing the risks associated with AI after viewing Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 at Camp David. So who says that movies don't affect the real world?
Well, maybe that calls out for the settlement of the writer's strike and the actor's strike. We'll see how that works.
That's right.
Well, listen, thanks, Savannah, so much. And for everyone listening, if you're not already a subscriber, please do hit that subscriber button wherever you get your podcast. That can be on Spotify, Apple. We love having you join us, and we have fun conversations like this, really focusing on what employers need to know with respect to the DC Insider perspective. Savannah, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the DC Insider Employer Update, the podcast that provides analysis of significant federal developments affecting the workplace that employers need to understand. You can subscribe to the DC Insider Employer Update podcast wherever you get your podcasts, which includes Apple, Spotify, and Google. Additional information about our podcast is located on the Fortney Scott website at fortneyscott.com. Thanks again for listening to the DC Insider Employer Update.